Yeah, good morning. Man, it's good to be in the great state of Florida. I've been to Florida a couple of times. 35 years ago we came. Our daughter, Rochelle, I'll talk about that this week, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so we came down for a Make-A-Wish trip back in, I think, 1991. And then we were here back in April, not too far, over in Deltona, whichever direction that is, at Brother James Green's church for a weekend. And so it's good to be back. It's beautiful out here. Gorgeous weather. And appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And so let me just kind of set the stage, if you will, if you'll let me do that. If the pastor were to announce, all right, we're going to have the Jets come in and have a biblical counseling conference. People would say, I don't need counseling. But if we start dealing with things like anger, here's what I've discovered through personal experience, that one out of every one person in the world struggles with anger. So we all have issues with that. Bitterness, perhaps, discouragement. Anybody here ever been discouraged in your Christian life? Ruptured relationships, how to fix relationships with people. So those are kind of some of the areas that we want to look at. And what we've done over this past year, I almost said graduated from Heartland Baptist Bible College, and kind of did in May of 2024. And actually, we retired, but we use our own word. We call it repurposed. And because we haven't retired from the ministry, we've just kind of repurposed what God's letting us, use some of the things that we've been able to use over the years or gained in knowledge and things of that nature. We're not going to look at this week from a psychological aspect. We're going to look at it from a biblical aspect. Because, and I told the men this morning, I believe the Bible has the answers for all the problems of living that we go through. All right, so how many of you, every year you have, well, they used to call it a physical, but they've kind of given it a different term. You have a wellness check. Every year, I do. I go to the doctor. They take blood work. You want to head off any problems that you have. You don't want to be like the guy, the doctor calls him up and said, well, I got some bad news, and I got some really bad news. He said, well, what's the bad news? The bad news is you got 24 hours to live. Well, what's the really bad news? I've been trying to get hold of you since yesterday. So, you don't want to be like that guy. You want to head off any problems. So we go to the doctor to make sure that everything is good, make sure that our blood work is good, and things of that nature. I think that from time to time, it is a good thing for you as a believer to have a little bit of a spiritual wellness check. You know, Paul says it this way, 1 Corinthians. He said, let a man examine himself. And I understand the context of that he's talking about in the context of the Lord's Supper. But I don't think it's wrong for us to just every once in a while stop and take spiritual inventory. Right? Find out where you're at. Okay, do the Barney Fife thing. Nip it! Right? You nip it in the bud. So that's what this is about this week. Now, most churches don't have a Sunday to Sunday revival meeting. You know, that is a lot of work. It's a lot of work for the church people to come. It's a lot of work for the people that get to speak 20 times this week. But I am so excited about the opportunity to try to help you. So starting tomorrow night, we're going to have quizzes. So we're going to do some quizzes. And I'm going to give out prizes. You're going to give out... Where's the gentleman read the... You're going to give out a prize for answering questions from the missionary letter. So we're going to have quizzes every night. And so I'm going to, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen. I want you to take some notes. We may even have some handouts this week for you to use. But so we're going to have quizzes. We're going to see how well you've listened to what we've tried to talk about this week. And I'm very excited. All right, so here's what I want you to do, okay? Number one, if at all possible, I want to encourage you to be here every night, okay? And I understand you're busy. You've got all kinds of, you know, things that you're going on in your life. But, you know, this is maybe one time a year. Right. Pastors ask you to do it. So let me challenge you to try to be here this week. Not because I'm preaching, but because we want to try to help. I'm going to ask you to do two things this week. Okay? Number one is this. I want you to ask God to speak to you regarding your spiritual health. You know, in Psalm 139, David says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart and know my thoughts." I'm paraphrasing. That word "search" almost carries this idea. If somebody breaks into your house and they decide they want to rob you, they go to your chest of drawers and they pull the drawer out and they pull everything out and they set it off and make sure that it's still folded when they set it off to the side. No, that's not what they do. There's a word that we use for what people do when they break into your house. You know what that word is? They ransack it. What does that mean? They pull it all out. And they're looking for valuables. Right? It's almost as if David is asking God, "God, ransack my life. Pull it all out. And see if there's something that doesn't need to be there. And if there is, show it to me. Show it to me." So that's the first thing I'm asking you to do, is to allow God to pull everything out. See if there's something that doesn't need to be there, that's hindering your spiritual health. And then the second thing, and I've already made reference to it, is to ask God to examine your life, to take inventory. How many of you have a job where you have to take inventory at work? You know, they go through and they count everything. So ask God to examine your heart to see if there is anything that's there. And then the second thing I want to ask you to do is this. If God shows you something that's there, that's hindering your spiritual health, what do you do about it? Deal with it. If it's a sin, repent. Turn away from it. Isn't that what the word repentance means? It means to turn away from it. So if God shows you something that doesn't need to be in your life, deal with it. Those are two very simple things. So that's what we're going to ask you to do. So we've kind of titled the week, "A Biblical Approach to Spiritual Wellness." That's kind of the umbrella, right? And then we'll have all of these other little things that we're going to talk about this week. 50 years of ministry. We're talking about Bismarck, North Dakota. We were preaching in a church in Texas, and outside of Paris, Texas. And I met a couple that was there. They were at the church, and so I taught Sunday school. And the man comes up to me after the Sunday school class, and he says, "Were you in Bismarck, North Dakota?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Were you at Bible Baptist Church in Bismarck, North Dakota?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "We visited, my wife and I," his first wife, I think his first wife died, "we visited your church, and you came by my house 4 Saturdays in a row after we visited your church. The last Saturday you came by, you and your pastor came by our house, and I told my wife, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know that's where we need to go to church. And after we left, that man and his wife got saved. And so I don't say that to brag. I just say it to say this. You never know the impact that you're going to have on people's lives. And that was 50 years ago that all that took place. So I picked up a couple of tracks of your tracks. And so let me encourage you to do that. You go to Walmart. How many go to Walmart? Anybody go to Walmart? I told the men this story. I went to Walmart the other day. I had looking for one thing. They didn't have what I wanted. So I had to go home, change out of my pajama pants, and go to Target. So man, when you laugh at your own jokes. Nobody else does. My wife tells me, don't tell jokes. So, because I always get them messed up. All right. Everybody good? Yeah. We're having a great time this week. And we have food every once in a while, too. So, man, that's even better, right? So, all right. Let's go to Romans chapter number 7, if you would, please. Romans chapter number 7. So, I don't know if this is your every service. I can't even think of the word I'm looking for. If this is what you do every time, but I'm going to ask you to stand with us as we read the Bible. A couple of reasons. Number one, it's God's Word. And we ought to be in reverence of God's Word. Number two, it'll help you stay awake a little bit longer. So, right? I don't worry about people. Listen, if your phone goes off, I don't worry about it. You know? We were at a funeral one time. Somebody's phone starts ringing. And it's ringing. And it's ringing. And we're trying to look around. Whose phone is that? My wife realizes it was her phone.
Oh, man.
It was bad. It got to be so bad, the guy in the casket sat up and said, turn off your dumb phone, right? No. All right. So I don't worry. If your phone goes off, that's okay. I'm not going to do anything. I might go, yes, Lord. But if you fall asleep, don't worry about it. If you fall asleep, that means you trust me. Amen? And so Romans chapter 7. Let's read verse 14. Down to verse number 20, and I'll give you a prayer, and then we'll get started. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The word carnal just carries the idea that he said I'm flesh. Yeah. Now it's used in a couple of different ways in the Bible. The context. Here he's talking about it being flesh, but if you were to walk up to somebody and say, you are a carnal Christian, meaning that they're worldly. So it can use it in those different contexts. But in this context, Paul is talking about the fact that he's flesh. And he goes on to describe what he means by that. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Can you relate to that verse right there? I want to do what's right, but I don't always do what's right. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but here's the phrase, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now it is no... verse 20, I'm sorry. For if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So this morning, I want to start things off, kind of lay a foundation. This morning I'm going to talk about how to be spiritually well by recognizing the evil within. And then tonight we're going to talk about biblical change. So I hope I have the order right. I've asked the Lord to kind of help me to give the order properly to help us to understand. I don't think it really matters, But so this morning we're going to try to lay the foundation to help us to acknowledge that we have an enemy within.
Right.
And you know who that enemy is? That's that ugly guy that looks at you on from the mirror every morning when you get up to comb your hair. Some of us, we don't have to worry about it. Amen. Pastor, God only made a few perfect heads and on the rest He put hair.
Amen.
So you have an enemy. And that's you.
That's right.
You have an evil within you. So we want to try to help us to acknowledge that and to recognize the evil that's within us. Can we have a word of prayer? And then we'll get started. Lord, I thank You for the time that we have, and I pray that You'd bless this week. And thank You, God, for Heritage Baptist, Lord, the work that they're doing here. And I just pray that You'd help each of us to allow You to open our hearts and see if there be anything that's in our life that doesn't need to be there. And if You reveal it to us, help us to deal with it. And if there be one here this morning that's listening on the live stream or maybe in the service today that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, Lord, speak to hearts. Help them to see their need for Christ. So bless now our time in the Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. So I'm going to ask you to do that every time when we get ready to preach, okay? Just stand and so you just go ahead and do it, and I got prizes to give out right here. So. Wow, that looks good. All right, So let me just kind of set the stage for the message today, and I'll talk about this in another message later on out of Psalm 38. But in March of 1990, and I've already kind of mentioned that our daughter Rochelle, who at that time was 13 years old, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She had 40 pounds of tumor in her abdomen. Every organ from her diaphragm down had cancerous tumors attached. The doctors were they didn't think that she'd live. They gave us a 40% chance to survive the chemotherapy. And it was a very, very, very grave situation. And it started a few days before that. I think it was on a Sunday. We've got three children, our daughter and two boys, and they were kind of having a little bit of a stomach flu going around. And so our daughter Rochelle on a Sunday morning is lying in her bed. My wife walks in and looks at her and noticed that her abdomen was swollen. And, so immediately if you're a mother, you sense, you know when your child is not well. And so we took her to the pediatrician. They did a CAT scan on her. They even allowed us to come in and look at the CAT scan. And as they worked their way from the neck all the way down, as it became apparent, as they worked their way through the abdomen, you begin to see these masses begin to manifest themselves in her abdominal area. So we took her to Salt Lake City. We're living in Evanston, Wyoming, about 80 miles from Salt Lake City, and so they did a surgery on her and removed an ovary, her appendix, and basically came in and said she will not survive. So when my wife saw her lying on the bed and seeing her swollen abdomen, the doctor said, our pediatrician, remember his words, said she's either got a tumor or she's 4 months pregnant. I mean, that's where we were at. And so little did we know that within her body was this enemy, right? This growth, this disease that was growing larger and larger in her body. Now, when you think about this from a spiritual perspective, I am convinced that God's desire for your life and my life is that we become like His Son Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, in fact, Paul says this, that it's God's will for our life and my life to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? God wants you and I to be like His Son Jesus. Now, I understand there are aspects of the life of Jesus Christ that we will never be able to obtain. He was perfect. He was God in human flesh. We understand that. But it's God's goal for your life and my life that we be conformed to the image of His Son. To be like Jesus. Right? Amen. To be like Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, biblical change has to take place. And we'll talk about that in greater detail today or tonight. But Paul says right here in Romans chapter 7 that he struggled with the same thing that you and I struggle with. And that is that he had an enemy. And he identifies that enemy as his flesh. That part of us that is not eradicated just because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You still have that flesh. It's an enemy that's there. And just like that cancer that was an enemy inside of our daughter's body that was destroying her, that flesh that we have within us, it seeks to destroy us. In fact, Paul says it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." You have a spirit. If you're saved today, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. But you also have that human flesh. And Paul says they are contrary one to another. You think about the idea of two bighorn sheep. And I had a video one time that I used to illustrate that. With these two bighorn sheep on the side of a hill. And they're just eating away. And they look up and they see each other. And they run toward each other, and you can hear the sound of it, and their heads butt, and they go, boop, like that. And they just turn around and walk away, and they're going like, yeah, I'm bad. Neither one of them won the battle. They're just constantly butting heads. So Paul says, I have a spirit, and the Spirit of God is there to help us to live the Christian life. But I also have a flesh, and they are contrary. One to another. They are constantly butting heads. Every day we have this battle that takes place within us. So what I want us to do today is to recognize that you have an evil within you. When Rochelle became ill, there were things. I mean, can you imagine? It changed our life in a very drastic way. Now, I'd seen the commercials for some of the children's hospitals, and now here we are as a family. We're experiencing this life-changing event taking place in our life. I mean, we learned things that we had never known before. Things like blood work and CAT scans. Chemotherapy treatments became a part of our life. Twice a month, we drive down to Salt Lake City, about 80 miles from where we lived in Evanston, Wyoming. And twice a month, they would give her the chemo treatments. We learned what bone marrow biopsies were. We learned what spinal taps were and many other things that we had not ever had a knowledge of before. And so to help her to fight that evil that was growing within her, the powerful chemo drugs were given to her. Through a port. They had to put a Broviac, it was called, a port in her chest to administer the chemo drugs. And they would put it right into that port and it would go right into the heart and into the blood system. Because they could do it in the arms, but eventually the veins in the arms, literally when they feel the pressure, the needle would roll away from it because of of all of the things. I don't know all the anatomy of it all, but they would have to administer it in the drugs into the port so it'd get into the blood system. And they set her up for an 18-month chemo regimen, and twice a month we'd go down there and they'd do the chemo, and then we'd come home, and one of them in particular that was a very, very harsh treatment, and she would lay on the couch, and we'd have one of those little hospital basins there. And she would wake up and throw up in the basin. We'd give her a little mouthwash. She'd swish it around in her mouth. And spit it into that. We'd go rinse it out. And twice that was, that would go on all night long, every 10 minutes, just like clockwork. She'd wake up and throw up every 10 minutes. And my wife or I would be there with her all night long, every 10 minutes that would happen. But they had to administer those very strong chemo drugs. 18-month regimen, but then it ended up being about 24 months because blood works wasn't right and different things of that nature. And eventually, at the end of that 24 months, they did the final scan. And I can remember this. We're sitting in the treatment room, and they, after the treatment, we're sitting there. They did the final scan, and we sat there, maybe an hour, and nobody came in. And we're in agony. The final scan, we want to know what the results are of the scan. And finally, about an hour later, a nurse comes in, and my wife says, "Do you know the results of the scan?" And she looks at us and goes, "Oh, they didn't tell you? They were clear." And I wanted to punch her, you know. We've been sitting there in agony for an hour. And they finally came in and said that the last scans were clear. You know, I thank the Lord for doctors, that God gives doctors the ability to do their things that they do. But, you know, ultimately it's up to the great physician, isn't it, to do all that. You know, for us, even after we have a relationship with Jesus, that enemy is still there, isn't it? You might even gotten up this morning and had a battle with the old flesh today. Maybe a part of your flesh said, "I don't want to go to church. They got this guy coming in. I don't really know who he is. He's probably ugly. He doesn't know how to preach. So I just think I'll stay." Maybe that went on in your heart this morning. Or maybe tomorrow night. "Man, I'm tired. My Dallas Cowboys are playing on ESPN tomorrow night." No, probably not, right? But you have, because we have an enemy. You know, doesn't Paul make reference to it? Verse 15, look what he says. "For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not." Do you know what Paul's saying? He's saying, "I want to do what's right, but I don't." And he goes on to identify the reason why he doesn't do right is because he has a sin that dwells in him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thankful that the Apostle Paul struggled with the same thing that you and I struggle with. He struggled with that flesh. So we need to recognize the evil that's within us. Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to get the right view of who we are. You know, I think we have somewhat of a distorted view of who we are. Listen to this quote I read from Jim Berg, who said this: "We sometimes think that we're pretty good people who mess up once in a while. The biblical picture is just the opposite. We are all bad people who do right only by the grace of God. And the only way that you and I do right is not because we just determined we're gonna turn over a new leaf, or we're gonna make a New Year's resolution, or whatever it might be. No, the only way that you and I can do right is because God has given us the resources that we need to help us to do right. And we're going to talk about those here in just a bit. So we need to get a right view of who we are. Now, you think about it with our daughter, and I know I keep making reference to it, but it fits what we're trying to accomplish this morning. Without the blood work, without the CT scans, without the x-rays, listen, we would have not had a right view of the evil that was within our daughter. Those things were necessary. And you and I need a right view of who we are. And when you try to go against the flow of what your flesh dictates, listen again to this quote by Jim Berg. He said, "A believer who has been giving into the pull of his sinful heart, to a pull of that flesh, never learns the extent of the power over him, but when he decides to swim or to row upstream, however, he meets that current of indwelling sin full force." He quickly realizes that life lived against his sinful bent is not only difficult, it is impossible. And he must learn how desperately he needs God to help him. So you need to recognize that when you and I decide, listen, I'm not going to let my anger control my life. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to allow discouragement to control my life. When you and I make those decisions to do that, here's what's going to happen. We're going to be meeting that sinful flesh full force because it doesn't want to give up. It doesn't want you to have the victory. Satan doesn't want you to get up tomorrow morning and open up your Bible and read your Bible. And Satan doesn't want that to happen. And your flesh doesn't want that to happen. You have an enemy. You need to recognize that you have an enemy. You need to recognize who you are and your shortcomings. And we also need to do this. And I'm going to expedite things a little bit, try to finish up. We need to understand that the power of that human nature that's within us. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Real quick. Isaiah chapter number 55. If you would please, I'm going to show you some verses here in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Look at verse number 6. Isaiah says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Man, that's a great verse, isn't it? He's here now. Seek him. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have" what? "Mercy upon him. And to our God. For he will abundantly pardon." Can you say amen right there? He will abundantly pardon. Look at verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." I'm sorry, "neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know what God is saying to us right here? You need to understand that there are some things in my life and your life that want to not give in to what God wants us to do in our life. You have a flesh that defies God. Now, you would never do this physically, but every time that you and I say no to the Spirit of God, here's what we're doing. No. I don't want to do that. Listen to this quote. "There can be little doubt that God sees our independent spirit, the very thing the world considers a virtue, as the root problem of man." When you and I, you would never do this, I would hope. Physically shake your fist at God when God says, "This is what you need to do this week." No, God, I won't do it. I won't do it. We become like the children of Israel. And I love these verses in the book of Zechariah. He says this about the children of Israel. Listen, "But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear." If you are a kid, don't try this at home. Daddy puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "All right, son, you need to settle down." If I'd have done that to my dad, I'd have been in a coma for about a year and a half. If I even lived through that. Or, have you ever seen this? Mama says something to the little kid and they go, "Beep, beep, 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 beep." You say, "Man, you do that pretty good. That's the way I am. That's the way I am." But God says, that's the way the children of Israel, when I speak, reach out to them and speak to them. You know, because you have a sin nature that defies God, that doesn't want to do what God says. And we would never maybe pull our shoulder away from God, but every time when the Spirit of God says to you, this is what you need to do, that's what we do. We're plugging up our ears and we're pulling the shoulder away. We need to understand that we have the power of that human nature, that flesh defies God. Hey, listen, you know what that flesh also does? It defiles you. Listen to these verses, Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You know what the word mortify means? You know what it means? It means to put to death. Put to death the deeds of the body. Galatians 6:8 says this, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Did you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? And we need to take care of it. Don't we? Sometimes, I heard a guy one time say, you know, my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and I'm building a mega church. But just as important it is taking care of our spiritual, of our physical bodies, we need to take care of our spiritual body too, don't we? So to the flesh and you'll reap corruption of sin. So the flesh defies God, the flesh defiles us. And you know what? The flesh also deceives us, doesn't it? James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the lifestyle of the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So we have a flesh within us. So what kind of resources has God given us to help us to overcome the flesh? Well, I'm glad you asked. Can I give them to you? Number one is the Word of God. God's Word. He's given us His Word. Listen to this verse, these verses out of Psalm 56:4. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now I understand he's talking about human flesh, but listen, you know what I think? I'm going to make a spiritual application there. He doesn't fear what that flesh within him can do to him either. So what does he say? He said, in God will I praise His Word. Psalm 119 verse 101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep His Word. So the first resource you've got is God's Word. Number two, you have the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what he says, Galatians 5. Well, I've already read those verses. I'll read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, where he said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that a great verse? You know what, I know in the context, I think, of what John is talking about there, he's referring primarily to false teachers in the world who turn us away from the truth. But I am thankful that God says you have something within you that's greater than what the world has. And then number three is right here. Local church. I told the men this morning in Sunday school. You know, I'm not a group therapy fan. I don't sit around. You know, where a bunch of people sit around in a circle. And where's Eddie? I picked on him this morning. He's not Eddie right here. Your dad this morning. I don't know which Eddie it was, but I picked on one of the Eddies. Hi, my name is Eddie, and I'm addicted to Snickers bars. And everybody goes, hi, Eddie. But I'm not a fan of that. But here's what I am a fan of: that everybody that walks through those double doors, comes in this auditorium, we all got the same problem. We're all sinners. And this is pretty good group therapy right here, isn't it? You know, we're not going to sit around and talk about our addictions, maybe, but we can encourage each other. Right?
Yes, sir.
You can hear a prayer request and put somebody's name on your phone or on a prayer list that you got and pray for each other. You need church. You need your Bible. You need church. You need the Spirit of God. And listen, here's another one. I don't think I've got it in my notes, but it needs to be in my notes. You need to talk to the Lord every day. I read in Jeremiah chapter 12 when God says, and I'm paraphrasing, if you can't keep up with the footman, what are you going to do when the horses start chasing you? You know what he's saying? If you've got all of these things that are just little bitty things in your life and you don't do the basics of the Christian life, what are the basics of the Christian life? Read your Bible, pray, go to church, right? If you can't do the basics, listen, if you can't do those on a regular basis, when the really hard things come your way, like the trials of life make their manifest themselves in your life, when you're struggling with anger or bitterness or discouragement, if you can't do the basics of the Christian life, you're not going to make it when the horses start chasing after you, when the real hard stuff comes. And let me say this. Just because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't exempt you from the trials of life. Have you figured that out by now? I got saved when I was 9 years old. You know, I've been a Christian. I'm 72, so I've been a Christian a long time. A long time. But there are times in my life when I don't do what God wants me to do. There are times in my life when I'm like Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. But that which I hate, that I do. Have you been there? Have you done that? And you probably got the scars to prove it. We have an enemy within. But aren't you glad that God's given us everything we need? 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. I am so thankful that God has given us everything we need to overcome the human flesh. But He doesn't want to give up. That old flesh doesn't want to give up. During the Second World War, it was common for Japanese soldiers in the Pacific to continue their guerrilla warfare in the territories where they were stationed. I found this remarkable. One was a Lieutenant Hiro Onodo who didn't surrender. Now listen, the war ended in August in the Pacific Theater of 1945. And this Japanese soldier, did not surrender until 1974. 30 years later? Is that right? Almost 30 years later, 40 years, however many years that is. And the reason? He refused to believe that the war was over. You know what? Your flesh doesn't want to give up. It desperately fights to control and win any victory it can muster. So as you wage the warfare against your flesh and you feel like it's a losing battle, remember, can you do this? That God's given you all the resources you need to help you to win the victory. Now I want you to think with our daughter, if we'd have let her, that cancer go unchecked, you know what would have happened? She wouldn't be here today. She turns 50 years old next year. And I'm going to talk about that in another message we're going to preach later on in the week. But I also realize that even sometimes when you treat disease, death still comes. We're aware of that. Sometimes God doesn't choose to heal. In our case, He did, and our daughter is alive today. But spiritually speaking, we need to recognize an enemy that's within us. So as we walk through some things this week, let me, and again, I've already asked you to do this. Try to recognize some areas that perhaps you're struggling in. We may not even cover everything that everybody's struggling with. But if God shows you something, would you pray like David prayed in Psalm 139? Lord, search me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, that's a big deal to ask God to do that, isn't it? But let me challenge you to do that. Unfortunately, we often feed the flesh that's within us. Paul says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If I want to lose weight, I can't keep driving by the donut shop every day and stopping in there getting a donut, right? So don't make provision for the flesh. Learn to battle the flesh. Paul battled it. He said, sometimes I don't win the battle, but it's a battle worth fighting. It's a battle worth fighting. Turn to Him for that, to help you, to turn to Him in dependence to keep you from trusting your own heart. Because there's nothing within us that merits God's favor. Nothing within us. If you need a Savior today, hey, you know what? Maybe God brought you here this morning to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. We were in Deltona in April. I mentioned that, so I got to tell you this story. And Temple Baptist Church is this walking and riding trail, bicycle riding trail, right by that, right across the road. And it goes on for miles. So a guy one Saturday is riding by on his bicycle, and he looks over and he sees Temple Baptist Church. And he says, I think I need to go to church tomorrow. So Sunday morning, he shows up on his bicycle. One of the men meets him at the door, opens the door, helping him take his bike back to a back room back there. And he comes in and I preach and he walks the aisle during the invitation. The pastor meets him at the altar, kneels down with him, and he wins him to Christ right there at the altar. This guy, so listen to this. He's 68 years old. Never at any time in his whole life had he ever gone to church. Not for funerals, not even for weddings. First time, he drives by on his bicycle, said, I need to go to church tomorrow. And he has been there every Sunday since. And he told his pastor one day he's late for church, shows up and he's got a tie on. Said, sorry I'm late. I noticed everybody's wearing a tie, and I decided I need to have a tie, so I stopped and bought me a tie. 68 years old, never been to church. I can't even imagine that. Right here, you're not in the Bible Belt right here. You're probably in the buckle of the Bible Belt right here in Florida. But a guy had never been to church. So I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been coming to church your whole life. But if you died today, you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. Maybe God brought you here for that purpose. God brought William Rowe. That's his name. I have him on my prayer list. Still praying for spiritual growth for him. God brought William to church that morning. And it changed his whole eternity. And that's what God can do for you if you're not saved this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, dear God, for your kindness and grace to us. We need your grace. We need your power. We need your word. We need the Spirit of God. We need the encouragement that we get right here in God's house. And I pray that if there be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be that day that they would come, and maybe even listening by live stream that are not sure if they were to die where they'd spend eternity, that they would pray that prayer and ask Jesus to come into their heart, that they would acknowledge their sin, that they would acknowledge that there is a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And help them to understand that Jesus loved them so much that He paid the price for their sin. And then all that they must do is call upon that the name of Christ to turn from their sin and ask Jesus to come into their heart and give them eternal life. You've made it so simple. And we just thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that changes people's lives. And speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, reveal to us some things that maybe we're struggling with in our spiritual wellness. And You'd help us to be able to come this morning and spend some time with you, Lord. If You've spoken to hearts, if we prayed that prayer to search You and search us, Lord, and allow God to reveal some things in our lives that we need to get rid of, that they would come and do that this morning. So speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.